All right, we are so glad that y'all came out today and those listening online. This is the morning of Christmas Eve. I hope you don't get tired of me telling this all the time, but I'll tell you what, when I got saved, those Christmas songs started to mean something to me. Amen. You know, the words of them, because growing up, I prayed to Jesus every night, but I didn't really know him. I knew about him. And I always remember singing those songs and, you know, things like that. But after I became a Christian, you know, they just really came to life. And so I really enjoy them. We used to sing them a cappella at the old church. There's only about 20 of us. And once we got to 25 people, they wouldn't let me do it no more. They took the tambourine away from me, too. So anyway, I'm still okay. I still got a little bitterness in my heart. I'll get rid of it today. So anyway. No, it's probably best they took the tambourine away. We're going to talk today about gifts for the Savior. You know, gifts for the Savior. This is a time of year that, you know, everybody's kind of giving gifts to each other. And we all probably have that person in our life that's hard to buy for. In my family, I'm that person. I'm hard to buy for. Mainly, I just don't need anything. You know, I'm easy keeper. For the most part, but, you know, my family gets real creative, and I used to guess the gifts every year, and I was really good at it. I was almost 90% in guessing when I shook it, but I quit doing that, and I've lost my touch. Now, I couldn't hardly guess anything yesterday other than shoes. That was easy, the shoebox size, and you know, hear that, but anyway, so I know somebody else who's hard to buy for, at least I think they are, and that's the Lord Jesus. You know, what do you give somebody who has everything, and what he doesn't have, you can create. Right? But I found something, and I was thinking about something that, you know, we can all give him something. And don't worry, we're not going to take up another offering right now. I'm not talking about money. But I believe it's something, you know, that's near and dear to us, something that we probably protect, and it's something that we can offer up to him. There's several things, and we're going to look at those today. What I found out is that gifts are God's idea. They were God's idea. God's the one who started it. You know, when he first gave Jesus, his only begotten son, you know, he gave us the opportunity to have eternal life. That's the greatest gift we can receive. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, it's a gift exchange. A lot of times, you know, you get in those gift exchanges and you maybe go buy something real neat, you know, for somebody, and then you open it up and you got something that's kind of junk. You know what I mean? Have you ever felt ripped off when you got your gift? A little bit. You know, here you put a lot of heart and thought into what you're getting somebody else, and then they just kind of phoned it in, you know what I'm saying? Maybe re-gifted something to you. Hey, I give this to you last year, you know, or whatever. But you see your name, they didn't even take the sticker off. But see, you know, the greatest gift that God's given us is eternal life, and it's a great gift exchange because, you know, we give God our eternal death, and that's what we're destined for without Jesus Christ, and then he gives us his eternal life. And to me, that was the greatest thing that was a revelation to me of just how good our God is. So we're going to look today a little bit about the Magi, the astrologers, the guys who had their heads in the clouds. We're just going to look at them and because they brought gifts to Jesus, and we're going to glean a few things as we go through this. I'm just going to read a couple small passages. I encourage you to go to Matthew 2 on your own today and maybe look at some of those passages that's talking about the Magi and everything that they did and what God had intended for them to do. It says in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi came from the east, arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, we thank you for that just Pentecostal power, Lord, to be here. We thank you that you gave gifts to men. Lord, right now I just yield to the gift you've given me. I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Satan, we bind you from trying to steal this holiday and also just steal the word that goes out today. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Magi, they were from the east, and they were astrologers, and they kind of had their heads in the cloud. And what they did is they followed a star. Now, we have a lot of people today that are following stars. You know, some of them are on sports stars. Some people, you know, they all buy their shirts. You're like, maybe you like Patrick Mahomes. Maybe that was last year. I don't know. They're not doing as good this year, but maybe you got somebody else you like. I don't know. You know, you follow these people who are stars, and maybe, you know, I know people that follow them, influencers, you know, all that, you know, and I mean, I don't know. I just don't do that myself. You know, once I met Jesus, I'm really hard to impress now. You know what I'm saying? Once I met the Lord, you know, you'd have to really do something big for me to really think you're cool, because there's nobody more cool than Jesus Christ in my book. But yet people follow all these other people. And so they're willing to follow stars. Now, the Magi, as I mentioned, they were astrologers, and they had, you know, always had their head in the clouds. And so they witnessed something far, far away. They were about 700 miles away. I mean, that's a long ways. And they looked up and they saw this star. And so, being the kind of people that they were, they chose to go and see what that was all about. Because evidently, you know, God probably spoke to him inside and told him that this star is, you know, revealing a king. It's going to be king of the Jews. And, you know, we probably know maybe it's a Shekinah glory. Maybe that night when the shepherds were out in the field, you'll find that story in Luke chapter 2. And they were out there, and the angels appeared and the lights and everything. So maybe they saw that. I don't know. But whatever it was, it touched them enough that they was willing to hop on a camel, of all things. Of course, that's what their mode of travel was. And walk for 700 miles just to find out what was over there. You know what I mean? Ooh, did you guys click, click, click? I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, that's the kind of thing that they were willing to do. And, you know, it bothers me. You know, sometimes we won't even drive a few blocks for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But here these guys are willing to go 700 miles. So evidently God touched their heart. And what's interesting to me is that these guys were from a total different country. So why would they care about somebody else's king? I mean, do you really care about presidents of other nations today? I mean, not really. At least I don't, for the most part. You know, there's times I don't even really get that enthused about our presidents. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're just done, no big deal. You know, but these guys, they were so enthralled with this that they wanted to go find out what it was all about. So they took off and by camel. And they went 700 miles. And that led them to a place because, you know, and really, we're going to see that they were on a mission from God. And that's kind of eye-opening for us as Christians, because God used somebody that was, and I know no Christians were yet. Jesus didn't go to the cross. But these were non-Jews. These were people outside of the covenant, outside of the promise. And God used them. God used them to do something great. And what I get from this is that God spoke to them in their language, and that was stars. That's how he spoke to them. If he would have sent somebody and a prophet by and told them this, they may not even give it second thought. But they were in the stars, and God knew they were in the stars, so that's how God spoke to them. See, God knows what you're into. He knows what your language is. And he's willing to maybe speak to you in your language so that you can get it. That's how much God loves us. Amen. Sometimes we just make God out to be one-dimensional. And we try to cookie-cutter people and make them all fit into the same mold. But that's not how God is. We're all just a little bit different. How many is sitting by somebody today that you say, yeah, they're kind of different. You know what I'm saying? I think we'd all probably say somebody's kind of different that we're sitting by. You know? But we're still sitting by them, right? And see, I'm very confident that God will speak to you in your language. Amen. He's going to speak to you in a way that you're going to understand, and he's going to reveal himself to you. You know, God did it for me. God showed himself big in my life, in a certain area of my life that, you know, I never thought, you know, anybody could, and it was just life-changing. So another thing to see about this little passage is the fact that, you know, why didn't the Jews see the star? See, it's ingrained in them that the Messiah is going to come. The Deliverer is going to come. He's going to be born. And it was in the Scriptures where he was going to be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. You know, all these things were in the Scriptures. And then evidently, they never were looking up. They were not looking up to God. They were probably locked in their own mold like you and I get sometimes, right? We get so busy. We're chasing after all these things that we think are so important, and then we miss out on something big. I mean, that would be very sad if, you know, we were, as a church today, if we missed out on a great move of God because we didn't have our eyes on the Lord. We had them on the world. And that's really what happened here with the Jews at this time. And it's very painful for me as a pastor, you know, when we see non-Christians being more Christian than Christians. And we see that every now and then, don't we? You know, we wear the shirt, we got the necklace, right? And then we go to work and we gossip, right? No, you're supposed to say wrong. You say, I don't do that, Pastor, right? You know, we're not supposed to do those things. Here we cut down people, we trash people, or maybe we cheat on hours. We don't really go in and, you know, work good. And then we're trying to tell people, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, it doesn't work that way. And then you got non-Christians who are showing us up and they're being more Christ-like. That's tough. Because what happens is that you and I can get so busy living life that we miss out on true life. And I believe that we just need to take a little time and step away. Just step away from the hustle and bustle of everything that's going on in life and just spend a little time with the Lord. You need to make time for your families. You know, we have that app we're doing on Wednesday night, and if you're not familiar with that, let me know, and we'll hook you up. There's a devotional in there. You can, you know, it's got everything you need, and you can just sit there and do a devotional as a family. I mean, you don't have to do it every day. I mean, the worst thing you can do is go from 0 to 100, right? Like I always say, you haven't worked out a bit, and then you go work out the first day for an hour, and the second day you're so sore you never do it again. And that's what I try to tell people. If you're going to start devotionals with your family, you know, don't do it for an hour the first time. The kids are going to be sitting there. They're wanting out. You know, they're not paying no attention. You know, just do a few minutes and kind of work your way into it. And because people, parents, what you're going to find out is you're going to get to know your child's heart. Because how your child prays is really what's in their heart. They're going to tell you what's going on in their life. But we just have to make those opportunities. We have to make those moments sometime, you know, so we can do that. So it's important that we don't miss out on what's really important in life. You know, sometimes, you know, life can get so overwhelming, you know, especially this time of year. You know, you get all the holidays, you go from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and, you know, maybe you all the things you're doing, getting ready for the holidays, and you're cooking, and you're cleaning, and all these different things, and you get kind of overwhelmed. But see, what we need to do is to understand that, you know, all those things is kind of like Mary and Martha. You know, we don't want to be Martha. We want to be Mary. We want to take time to sit at the feet of the Lord. And then what happened is the Magi, as they were going, the star disappeared for whatever reason. And so, I don't know about you, but wouldn't you feel kind of foolish? You're 600 miles into this trip, you know, and you're following that star. And all of a sudden, it's gone. So now what do you do? Well, they knew they were looking for a king, right? So they went to the most logical place, and that's what we're going to look at next. You know, are we lost? Have you ever get lost? I mean, sometimes on a long journey, you know, we can kind of lose our way or get lost, and it's so easy to miss a turn. You know, back before GPS, you know, I used to stop at gas stations to get directions. I know my dad must have taught me that. Or whatever, because Dad did work at a gas station when I was first born for a little bit, as well as farm, and both parents worked multiple jobs, you know, just to keep things going. But, you know, Dad always told me you can go there to get directions, and that was before the gas stations of today. You know, today I may not go to a gas station, you know, because, I don't know, they can't even count back change, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm going to ask them where something's at. I'm just kidding. If you work at a gas station, I'm sure you're fine. But, you know, you go in there, and usually it was older men in their 40s or 50s, and they would be in there, and they kind of knew everything that was going on around town. So I'd just pull in there, and they'd tell me where to go, and, you know, I just look back. You get so dependent on that GPS, don't you? You know, my kids are fearless. I mean, it took me a while to trust that thing. You know, they would just plug in the coordinates and just start driving and do whatever that thing told them. And, you know, I just had trouble doing that. Now I've gotten better at it, you know. But, you know, it's just one of those things. But, you know, could you imagine if I look now, drive down. I remember one time we left college. We skipped college a day or two. And we went down to Kansas City. You know, not knowing where we're going. Just nothing. You know, and just crazy. You know, where do you turn? What do you do? We got to go find this thing, you know. But we did. We survived, I guess. I don't know. Life must have been simpler back then. I don't know. But see, the life that you and I live, I think sometimes can be long. And sometimes we lose our way. Because sometimes we start out right. But then when we get in the middle of that trip, because it's kind of long in between destinations. I mean, we're all excited when we start our trip. And then we kind of, you know, after you're in it for a while, it gets kind of boring. But then when we get to our destination, we get excited again. But it's that middle part that we have to watch out for. It's a part that, you know, and that's where we're on in life. You know, we're born and then we're heading towards, you know, the end. And, you know, where so many things happen. And so when the Magi got lost, they stopped for directions. And logically, Ben said, we're looking for a king. They went to the palace and asked the king of the Jews at that time, who was Herod, and he didn't like it. When they said, hey, we're here, we saw a star for the king of the Jews, and here he's the king. You know, that would kind of be tough. You know, somebody's coming to take my spot, and they're not my kid, because I always kind of set that stuff up. So they went there, but yet God revealed later in a dream not to go back and tell him where everything's at. But they told him where the star was and all that, and so what I get from this is that when we feel lost, we need to make sure that we're asking a trusted source for direction. You need to make sure you can trust that source. Because what happens when we're lost, we get vulnerable. We get all these emotions coming in, maybe even a little bit of fear. Have you ever had a little bit of fear in your life? Because maybe you don't know exactly what the future holds or what's coming up for the next step. And then we're desperate. We just start asking people things. And sometimes we ask the wrong people, and when you ask the wrong people, you get the wrong information. And that can make our trip a whole lot longer. You know, when I was in Greece, like I've always shared, because we didn't speak of the English, you know what I'm saying? And we would look around, and we'd ask people where something's at. I'd always ask three people. And if two of them agreed, I would go with it. But if they were different, you know, I'd keep asking until I got a witness between the two because, you know, over there I was told that the Greeks didn't want to seem like they didn't know, so they would just make something up to get rid of you. You know what I mean? So we just, you know, it's good to know that information, but I don't know if they still do that or not, but that's just kind of how it was. Also, we got to remember to stay the course. Maybe you're in the middle of your journey right now and you're heading to the destination you feel the Lord's leading you to and you're getting kind of tired. You feel a little bit lost. All I can say is keep going. You know, God's word will see you through. You know what I've noticed is the fact that we need to spend a little more time with God when we're in those messy situations, those sticky situations. You know, instead of, you know, maybe trying to veg out or do things to take off your mind, you know, just spend a little time with the Lord. You know, get into the word. Because God's word is tested and true because, you know, God's word needs to be our constant and ever-changing world. You know, to me, you know, at my age, you know, I can still remember way back when. And I'll be honest, things are a lot different today than they were 50 years ago. A lot different. A lot dicier in some ways. You know, a lot different way of, you know, dealing with things and all that. But one thing that I've noticed, the same Bible 50 years ago is the same yesterday as it is today. It never changes. It's a constant. And that's why it can be there for us if we want to use it, if we want to allow it to be the ruler and reigner in our life. Also, you know, remember that our faith will be always tested in the messy middle of the journey, and that's where we're at right now. We're in the messy middle. We're all there together. I don't believe anybody's that close to the end of their journey. You know, we're going to last a little bit longer, and we just got to hang in there and not turn back or not give up on anything. And we need to stay strong. That leads me to my last passage I want to look at about gifts. And it's found in Matthew 2, verse 10 to 12. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, Magi left for their own country by another way. So here we see the story kind of coming together. They've completed their 700-mile journey, and the star reappeared for them, and now they kind of are heading in to where God wants them to be. you know. And what they came is they came to worship a king. They wanted to worship. And that's important that we understand that word worship, what that really means. It's important that you and I get that right in our life, how we worship God. Because number one, Jesus is worthy of our worship. You know, he's worthy based on who he is. Even if Jesus never did anything, just because of his placement in the kingdom, he's worthy of our worship and what that means. And I really believe that sometimes, you know, we need to just let ourselves go and just worship him. Just go for it. You know, just like pretend you're at the football game and your kid just scored a touchdown or something. I mean, just get excited. Just get excited about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all the things that he's done in our life and his support, because not only do we worship who he is, but Lord, we worship him for what he has done. He went to the cross. He chose to empty himself, as we looked at last week, and he humbled himself and he came down and he chose to come down as a baby. I mean, that's just innocence. I mean, that's just, you know, imagine going from the creator of the heavens and the earth that spoke and it was, and all of a sudden coming down, he can't even speak. You know, limiting yourself that way, but he did it for, because he had a reason. He loved you. Amen. He did it because he loved you. I don't know about you, but that's love. That's sacrificial love. And then he took that love even a step further, and he went to the cross. He could have got down off the cross at any time. He had the power to do so, but he chose to stay there. His love kept him nailed to the cross. Thank you. For you and for me. And the importance that we see in that concept. And Jesus, what he did, he gave us, you know, the gift of eternal life in exchange for the gift of eternal death that the devil gave us. We were born in sin. You can't help it. You may be nice, a really nice person. I mean, you may never feel you've ever made a mistake, but we've all lied. We've all probably stolen sometime in our life. We've all done something that brings sin in our life just because we're born that way. So I want us to kind of think now, as we're heading into the kind of gifts, see, what kind of gift can you and I give Jesus? Remember, he has everything, right? He doesn't really need anything to get by. So we need to give him something special, something that's special in our life, something that's near and dear to us. See, the Magi traveled 700 miles and by camel, and they wanted to give him gifts. And really, that was God's plan, because we'll know a little bit later, and didn't really read that, but the Magi went back another way, because Herod, what he did is he killed every baby 2 years and under in Bethlehem and in the surrounding area, because he wanted to kill the competition. So what happened is that God revealed himself in a dream to Joseph first, and told Joseph to go to Egypt. Well, you remember, this family was poor. Last week we looked at the fact how everybody kind of, you know, wouldn't want to be with them, because it was an illegitimate baby, hypothetically, is how people looked at the situation. So they kept them away. And, you know, like I said, it probably hurt Joseph's business and all these things. But here they got to go to Egypt. Well, guess what? Shows up the Magi with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They had some traveling money. And really what that was about. So that's where they went. They went to Egypt. And they stayed there until it was safe to come back. So in thinking, What do we give to God? Like I said, he can create everything. But it comes back down to that concept where I was talking about the idea of worship. When you worship something, you want to give to it. It involves giving gifts when you worship something. The lesser always gives something to the greater, even though the greater has already given us something. That is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we come to worship Jesus, we're to come open-handed, but not empty-handed. Open-handed in the way that we have let go of the things of the world. All those things that are holding us back in life, we let those things go, but not empty-handed. We want to bring something for him, to worship him. Something of ourselves, something we can give him at the lay at his feet. And so we give a gift to the Lord. When we do that, it's not payment for what he has done. It's rather honor for who he is. I want us to get that down. When we give something to God, it's not payment that he went to the cross. We're not trying to pay our way out of this thing. Because many people miss that out and they think they got to do something. And that gets us off into works righteousness. See, our gifts to God need to be driven by love in our heart rather than guilt or an obligatory action. You know, have you ever had to give a gift to somebody because you had to? I have. It wasn't as fun as when I gave one when I wanted to. I love to give when I want to, but I hate it when people tell me I have to. I don't know, just that way, I guess. Maybe I need work. I don't know. Maybe I'm still not fixed yet. But I love it when I get something inside of me that feels like I just want to do that. I mean, I know there's times in my life, you know, I've just offered something up to the Lord. You know, I just wanted to give it to him. Even it was so important to me, you know, that I wanted to do. I remember one time, you know, a friend of mine, he was a carpenter, and our pastor, and this pastor was over the singles group, and I was single at the time, and he meant a lot to me. This pastor did. He spoke into my life. He helped me to understand the scriptures. I mean, this guy was gold, in my opinion. And so this carpenter was going to remodel his basement. And so we was down there working on it, and I just did it for free. You know, I needed money, but I knew the investment he made in me, and I just wanted to give back a little bit. I didn't have to, but I wanted to. Now, the carpenter wouldn't hear of it, so he went and bought me a Bible. I wouldn't take money, but he gave me a Bible. I would take a Bible because I needed a Bible because I bought the wrong Bible starting out. So if you want to buy a Bible, hit me up. I'll tell you which one's not to buy. I mean, this one I bought was kind of, it was a different one, shall we say. It wasn't bad. It had the words in it were right, but it had some extra stuff in the front that was part of a cult. I went to the bookstore. I didn't know any different. I was just a hayseed, you know, just coming off the street wanting to buy a Bible. But anyway, I took that Bible to his church, and people started looking at the insignia that was on the front. You know, I said, "Are you a part of this group?" And I go, "What? No, I don't know. I'm not. I just bought the Bible." They go, "Did you know what that means?" I go, "No." You know, now you're all curious what it is, ain't you? I'll tell you when we're offline, okay? No, because I'd better not. Might get some people revved up, and we're not doing that today. I told myself I'm not going to get anybody mad today. Praise God. This is Christmas. Praise God. Amen. So, our motive, we're going to get that right. So, the best gift that we can really give him, one of them is free will. We give our will to him. See, God will never take our free will from us, but we need to offer it to him. See, there's some people think that, well, you don't have a free will, God's just going to do it all. No, that's not the case. God gave us that gift of free will. And you can do with your will whatever you want. You can tune me out right now if you want to. You can get up and walk out of here right now if you want to. You can never have to serve Jesus Christ if you don't want to, because that's your free will. Or you can choose to give it to Jesus and fall back in line with the plan that he has for your life. And that's how we step into his perfect will. And we got to do that. And once you do that, it's the best life there is. Many people are resisting God. They're afraid to give their life to God. They just think God's going to make them do something that they don't want to do. But I'll tell you, he won't. God will put something in your heart. You know, last thing I thought I'd ever do is speak in front of people. I would, like I always said, I'd just be happy just leaning on the wall watching people. That was me. But then God put something in me, and then I knew I had a message. God put a message in my heart. So I had to speak that message out. So then he gave me the grace to do so. God will always give you the grace you need to do everything he's called you to do if you let him. Amen. But, you know, so we just don't need to be afraid. So, in closing, I really mean it this time. When God created us, he gave us the precious gift of life and is the greatest gift we can offer to him, and that's our life. And I want to challenge us with that today.